welcome everybody to Practical Living. We have great tips for you that you don't want to miss. Have your paper and pen ready so that you can write down whatever it is that you don't want to forget. We have practical matters, practical health, and more. Before we go any further, let us ponder our practical thought.
The world is a great mirror. It reflects back to you what you are. If you are loving, if you are friendly, if you are helpful, the world will prove loving and friendly and helpful to you. The world is what you are. You didn't get that? Let me repeat it and listen carefully. The world is a great mirror. It reflects back to you what you are. If you are loving, if you are friendly, if you are helpful, the world will prove loving and friendly and helpful to you. The world is what you are. So if you want people to be kind to you, then you need to be kind to people. If you want people to help you, you need to help them. Remember the golden rule. Do you remember that? It says, do unto others what you would like them to do to you. And that is exactly what a practical thought is saying. So I'll read that one more time for you guys. The world is a great mirror. It reflects back to you what you are. If you are loving, if you are friendly, if you are helpful, the world will prove loving and friendly and helpful to you. Let's now switch over to practical matters. Welcome to Practical Matters. And Andriette had been with us for the past couple of days, but unfortunately she had to go and attend to some business. But don't worry, guys. We still have Manja. I know a lot of you have really enjoyed his presentations and have just loved what he has to share with us. And over the past few days, we've looked at relationships, why people get into relationships in the first place, you know, the need to have that special someone, and right through to the benefits of, you know, kind of taking it easy and not having sex before marriage. Manjula, thanks a lot for those amazing presentations. Now, I have a quick question for you. Okay. What happens in the situation where someone, for whatever reason, has had, you know, sex before marriage? Someone has messed up. Maybe they went to a party, they got drunk, and they had sex. You know, someone got pregnant and they had an abortion. And this person just feels like dirt. They feel worthless. What would you say? I mean, what is that person supposed to do?
The first thing is that we are not our mistakes or bad decisions. We are more than that. And the second one is that we are not other people's mistakes or bad decisions, but we'll get to that later. Let's start about our mistakes and our bad decisions.
You said we are not our mistakes.
We're not our mistakes.
But
we're
you know, it's hard because sometimes that mistake follows you everywhere. It's there, you know, it just won't leave you alone. And you say that we're not our mistakes.
Our mistakes form part of our lives, but they are not who we are. I'll give an example. As a person, you may have had sex with somebody. That's not who you are. That's what you've done. Unfortunately, sometimes the way we use language to take one event to define who the person is. For example, when we say someone is a liar, it's a different from saying someone lies. When you say someone lies, you talk about something that they do. When you say that someone is a liar, you are defining the kind of person that they are. And in reality, in life, we are never the kind of people who make those kinds of mistakes. No, that's not who we are. We blunder. Let's assume you went to a party and got drunk. And you ended up having sex. Let's assume you started having sex when you were young with your boyfriends or your girlfriends. Let's assume you've done it with older men for money. Let's assume you've had sex and you fell pregnant and you had the abortion. But that's not who you are. There's so much of you in your life than that. When we take your entire life and reduce it to abortion. We are taking one bad decision and saying that's who you are. And no one is one bad decision, because everybody makes bad decisions. They just vary in size and consequence, but everybody makes bad decisions. And because of that, we cannot be reduced to our bad decisions. Yes, we make them, but in addition to the person who's had an abortion, having that abortion, in addition to all of that, they're somebody's daughter, they're somebody's sister, they're somebody's niece. Having had the abortion doesn't tell us about you. It doesn't tell us about what kind of daughter you are. It doesn't tell us about your relationship with God. It doesn't tell us what kind of sibling you are. It doesn't tell us what kind of student or employee you are. It doesn't tell us the kind of parent you will become. It just tells us you made one huge mistake. Mm. And in life, we make those mistakes, and we can never be reduced to that. There is an improvement that has been there in the language, where people who used to be rape victims are now called rape survivors. But that, to me, we still need to go beyond that, because let's assume you were raped. There's more to your life than the fact that you were raped. You cannot take that and have us define you by that. Yes, you were raped. What does that tell us about you, other than that you had one horrible day or one horrible evening? What does that tell us? In addition, what does it tell us about what you have to offer? What does it tell us about your values? What does it tell us about your dreams? It doesn't tell us anything. It just tells us about one day, one incident in your life. Of course, it was life-changing, but there's more to you than that. You can offer so much more than the fact that you were raped. So yes, bad things happen to us. Yes, we make foolish decisions, but those do not define who we are. Let's assume you're going to say, here's a young person, the person slept around and got HIV positive. Mm-hmm. Let's assume that happened. Let's assume we're actually HIV positive. Now, remind you, not everybody who's HIV positive slept around to get it.
Okay.
Some people get it by some tragic event. Some people get it because there's an accident, there's a lot of bleeding. Some people get raped. Some people sleep once. You don't have to sleep many times to be HIV positive. You have to have sex once. Let's assume you've slept around. Worst case scenario, you slept around and you got HIV positive. What does this tell us about you? It tells us that in your life, there was a time where you were a bit reckless with your sexuality. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, what does it say? Nothing. There is so much more to you than that.
You know, Mandla, what makes it hard is, you know, to get out and to face the world, because those pointing fingers, can be terrible, you know.
That is true.
Those comments people make when you pass by, you can tell they're talking about you.
That's true.
And you can tell they're talking about your mistake. And here you are, you're trying your best to forget that mistake, and people constantly bring it up.
And when they do, they try to label you. They try to reduce you to that. They try to feel like damaged goods. But let me say this. As people, we are never damaged goods. Let me make an illustration. In my area where I grew up, in the Transkei, we had chiefs. Still do. Now, chiefs had sons that we went to school with. Now, even though during break time you could fight with that boy and beat the daylights out of him, he was still royalty.
Okay, okay.
Even though you could write a test with that boy and he gets 20 out of 100 and you get 100 out of 100, he's still royalty. He may not be a very bright royal, but he's still royalty. Even though you could grow up and eventually one day take his girlfriend away from him and he's there weeping, frustrated, trying to kill himself, he's a depressed royal.
He's still royalty. Despite
all of that. So the things that happen in his life do not change that fact. Same applies with us as people. We have a value. We have a value that is not defined by the things we do. A value that is defined by who we are and what we are. And I tell you, that does not change because of the things we do or the things that happen to us.
Well, unfortunately, we're running out of time. But wow, I love that. We're still, you know, we still have value despite what has happened. Okay, well, unfortunately, we have to go. Guys, the same station, same place, same time. Till next time. Thank you.
Have you heard something on our broadcast that you need further clarification on? Is there an issue that you would like addressed? Do you want to greet your brothers and sisters that also listen to us? Write to us. Our mailing address is AWR, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. That is AWR P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. You can also email us using awr@sidmedia.org. That is awr@sidmedia.org.
You're listening to Practical Living right here on your practical station, AWR, Adventist World Radio.
Remember, the world is a mirror. It reflects back to you what you are. So as you continue to ponder on this thought, listen to this song by a young man named Chiku Kamwendo. He hails from Malawi. The song is called Abide With Me.
Practical Living, right here on your practical station, AWR, Adventist World Radio.
Do you guys remember the practical thought? Let me read it for you one more time. The world is a great mirror. It reflects back to you what you are. If you are loving, if you are friendly, if you are helpful, the world will prove loving and friendly and helpful to you. The world is what you are. There's no trick about it. There's no two ways about it. Do unto others what you want them to do to you. Okay, listen to this other song. It's called Fatsa. Lilime Fatsa.
Lilime Fatsa. Lilime Fatsa. Sangati moto Pofikira tuenda Mitima yao iwachedwa Dimau wako amoto Lilime Iwe fansa Lilime fansa Lilime fansa Asana dese mulomo wo Chikondi tunicho yera Lichibwenzi chomweso Usachi wononge kose Ni mau akukia o Mau bwenzi ama sweka Ngima banja omweso Gamba mau akukia Olankulilo masonto Lili
on your practical station, AWR, Adventist World Radio.
If you have a wise saying or quote that would make a good practical thought, email it to me. The email address is awr@sidmedia.org. Let's now listen to Practical Bible. Be blessed.
John 6, verse 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst.
Have you ever had a chance in life to be hungry for something, specifically food or bread? Have you ever had this longing to eat something good, such as a good meal? I remember when I was in Abundant Life, the Christian touring group in South Africa, they took us on a hike where we had to work as a team and grow together as a unit. One thing they did was give us a limited supply of food. After 3 days of rations, one becomes hungry for anything. But the amazing thing is, one realizes the necessity of the spiritual food and that it is the sustenance of life. This food is the food that gave us the energy to push through the hard times and struggles. We had to apply our faith in our daily walk, in our physical lives. We had to realize that the application of our belief is found in our coming to Christ. This is to say that the application of your faith is found in your coming to Christ. This is exactly what John is saying in verse 35 of John 6. It reads, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." This is based on a conversation which Christ had with those who were searching for him after he had fed the 5,000 men. Christ and his disciples vanished after the tiresome expedition they had with feeding the hordes of people. The people, the following morning, went in search of them, but could not find Jesus Christ and the disciples. So they departed to Capernaum because they heard that Jesus was there. When they found him, they asked him the question, and this is found in John 6, verse 28. "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Christ replies and says, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." On this basis, they ask him for a sign in which they may believe. But the thing is, Christ has already sustained them. He has already taken them to the place where they can apply their faith. He's already proved to them that he is God. It doesn't matter what religion you are. Christ has led you here to this place, to this radio station today, to give you a chance to practice your faith. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you already believe in him. If you haven't, this is the place to be, because God has led you here to practice your faith in him. The choice is yours to make right now. But the thing is, we as people don't see this point, that Christ has already brought us to the place where he wants us to be. He's already saved us. He's already died on the cross for us. He's already given us a chance to get to know him. We want to think we have to do something. We become stubborn and miss the point, just like those people going in search of Christ after he fed them. They were stubborn and unbelieving. Are you stubborn and unbelieving today? If so, don't withdraw. Don't vanish into your little comfort zone, because it's Christ alone that sustains us and nothing else. You see, these people following Christ followed him because he could sustain them. He could fulfill a need that they had, but they saw him not as an eternal sustainer, but as a moment sustainer. Are you seeing Christ this morning as a sustaining you for the moment, for the need right now? Are you missing the point of who he really is? They said to Christ, "We know that our forefathers received bread from Moses, and they were sustained for 7 days a week, but how can we believe in you? You're not Moses." Christ whips out and tells them, "Moses never gave them bread, but God did. And it is the same God that has sent him, Christ, the true bread, to them to sustain them through all their lives." They then turn to him and plead to him to give them this bread, not only now like the miracle provided for them in a moment, but that he will give them this bread for eternity, for always. Christ then says, "I am the bread of life. I am the only one that can sustain you for eternity. I am the one who gives you eternal life." The words in the Greek declares, I am the bread of life. This is an emphasis from Christ. He is the only one that can give this bread. He is the only one that can fill all these needs that are in our lives. He is the only one that can sustain the needs that you face daily, whether it is hunger for spiritual, for the physical, for the mental, for the emotional, even for the financial. He can sustain you. This passage is not only emphasizing, but sending us back to the Old Testament in Exodus 3 verse 14, where God says to Moses, "I am who I am." The people never believed Christ after he did the miracle. But now that he states that he is the only one, he is God himself, they start to listen to what he says. Christ is telling you and I today that he is the only sustainer in life. He is the only one that knows how to live life properly. Why do we always want to sustain ourselves emotionally, spiritually, or even physically? Why can't we just go to God and let us practice our faith? Let us do that right now. And I invite you now to go to God and practice your faith. Let us today practice our faith by coming to Christ. I invite you, let us believe that I am.
Remember, we give you practical tips and practical advice that will help make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Until next time, God bless.